Hey folks, this is John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach in Washington, D.C. or just outside of it. Bad traffic is a great time for podcasts, and because they're hands-free, I can do them while I drive. So I listen to a lot of podcasts. I read a lot of audiobooks. I think that reading can happen through your ears as well as through your eyes. And I think if reading is breathing in, writing is breathing out. So this is my chance to kind of give back and talk about things that I'm seeing in my classroom or in education circles in general, which is a helpful way for teachers to take about 10 minutes each week, 11 minutes, to come up with ideas and strategies that are practical they can put in their classroom. So I hope you like it. This is the start of a conversation. It's not the end of it. So if you like what you're hearing, feel free to message me on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's M as in Mary, E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, and EDU like teaching. Or you can find me on my website, which is www.adrenalinerush.com. That's like educational adrenaline, education with an E. Because I'm fired up about teaching, and I want to get fired up with people who want to get fired up. So let's talk. This week's episode is a little different. Rather than doing the traditional, like, brainstorm and, like, open thought, like, you know, word dump on the podcast, which is designed to, like, ask some questions and join a dialogue, even though it seems like it's one way. This one's designed to be, like, show you a peek behind the scenes, because last night for our school was back to school night, and sorry, I'm sniffling. I wasn't crying. It was just like a random sniffle. And we as teachers were expected to prepare 8 minutes, exactly 8 minutes, of material for the back to school night presentation. We had parents and families come through for each of the students that we have, and I teach two sections of American literature. So even though most of my job is working as an instructional coach and like helping other teachers, you know, put out fires, answer questions, and just get a feel for it. I do have two classes of my own, so it's helpful, I think, sometimes for people to say, well, what does it look like? And so today I want to sort of show you behind the scenes, like, exactly what that 8-minute presentation was. In a moment, I'm actually going to launch right into it, because I try to commit it to memory. And there's a bunch of ways to go about it, but what I do with mine is I set up Google Slides in the background to auto-advance, and they actually auto-advance about every 40 seconds. I set mine, and you can just change the time as you need to. So I'll publish on the link to the show notes a copy of my presentation, and you can kind of see it, and if you wanted to, when I say start, you can start the presentation right about the time where I say that word, and you should be able to replicate this, the feeling of being in my classroom for that 8-minute spiel. We can talk about it afterwards about what that looks like and blah, 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 blah. But just a general note before I do get started, I work in a Catholic school. I am a Catholic educator. I'm not saying you have to be to listen to this, but it might help frame some of the stuff you might hear because, again, I have to speak to that in my own classroom. So we're going to hit start and let's give it a shot. Ready, set, let's go. Hi, everybody. Welcome, first and foremost, to Back to School Night here at Bishop O'Connell High School in Arlington, Virginia. My name is John Meehan, and I have been working in education for about 10 years, and I've been at O'Connell for a bunch of them, so I really wanted to say, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time out of your schedules to be here, but also because as Catholic school educators, we believe that parents are the primary teachers, or families are the primary teachers, so it means a lot to us that you're able to take some time out of your schedule to support us tonight, but really I wanted to thank you for the great work you do at home to raise young men and women of virtue, which helps me teach American literature, because you can't teach content to people who don't care. And I want to thank you for the work that you do, because you're great kids, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you tonight. A bit about me. I have been at O'Connell now, I think, 8 years. I started my career in the public schools in Prince George's County, Maryland. And every week you should get an email from me. So every Friday you should get a copy of the class newsletter. You see it there projected in the back. If you're not getting it for any reason, please let me know. You can shoot me an email at my email that's right there on the board. Or you can find me on Twitter and YouTube. It's like the 21st century version of like getting a gold star and putting your work on the fridge. I find that students work a little harder because they want to be in the newsletter and they want to like sit up a little straighter and wear their uniforms, which is a great way to kind of get people engaged. And when I do a lot of teaching and reading and research, I find that the rising tide can lift all ships. You know, speaking about reading and writing, there's a great book called The Rise by a woman named Sarah Lewis. She's a PhD out of Columbia. And in it, she does like a look at growth mindset and the gift of mastery and these failures and who comes close and who comes up short. And what was really fascinating is they have a piece in there about Olympic medalists. They talk about there's no statistical difference between the talent of a gold medalist, silver medalist, and a bronze medalist. I mean, they're talking about like a breath or an eyelash away of talent. But what they found most interestingly is that gold medalists are really happy to win, of course, that makes sense. But bronze medalists are elated to make the platform because they're like a breath away from never medaling ever. Meanwhile, silver medalists are really kind of sour. If you look at Michaela Maroney, I have her picture on the board behind us, that famous second place Olympian who says, darn it, I was so close to that gold medal, and now I have that sourpuss look on my face, right? Interestingly, though, that sourpuss look motivates the silver medalists to work so much harder. In fact, 4 years later, gold medalists and bronze medalists, there's no statistical, you know, outliers there, but the silver medalists go on to medal at a much higher rate at a gold level, where bronze medalists tend to never medal again. Almost suggesting that those near misses motivate us to work that much harder. Same principles that underline things like gambling, right? One more pull of that lever, one more swing of the bat. And so that Michaela Maroney face where they're like, oh, darn it, I'm so close. I want your kids to have that face on every single day in my class because there's always more work to do. As Doug Liamoff writes in his book, Teach Like a Champion, the reward for correct answers is always harder questions. So I want your students to lean in and ask those questions. Now, this is hard because I teach American literature. I have 400 years of content to cover, and that usually means a lot of old, dead white guys. So how do I get students of today excited to lean in and want to swing the bat one more time when it's, you know, Huckleberry Finn or The Great Gatsby or modern classics like Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man, we read the Hamilton libretto, Corinne Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun. What I found is that story is a universal connector as humans. And like we can watch multiple shows on Netflix and not really confuse the plot lines, tapping into the power of story and creating a year-long class narrative that plays like a game really helps to welcome students back into the world of X, in this case literature, so that they're constantly wanting to see what's next and constantly saying, all right, one more shot at this, one more go of it. And so we do a lot of team-based activities, a lot of activities where we'll have to collaborate and cooperate with our classmates to demonstrate our skills. Now, in this case, it's not athletic skill, but rather it's reading, writing, speaking, and presentation. Because this class is American literature, ultimately, we're not teaching content, we're teaching skills, and we just get to use American literature to get there. So, on the desk in front of you, you see there's a bunch of Lego packages, these like minifigures. If you see them, feel free to pick them up. Don't unwrap them, though. I know as adults, we want to immediately like know the answers to things. And kids are exactly the same. But what's cool about these Lego packages, I think they're a really good example of, as you kind of hold it in your hand, you turn it over, it says there's 16 to collect in all. Look how brightly colored it is, right? But we can't see what's inside the bag. For the students in the classroom, I want to replicate that same feeling that we're having right now by holding this tactile thing in our hand. There's a curiosity, there's a wonder, there's a, I just want to give it a shot. I want to see what's next. How can I get them to want to unwrap curriculum and unwrap stories with that same spirit of like childlike wonder and curiosity? Because that leads to things like taking risks and failing forward. If you're focusing on grades all the time, it creates stress and it creates a situation where the learning will suffer. But if you focus on just the curiosity, the wonder, and the learning process for its own sake, well then, the grades come as a natural byproduct of it because what we're doing is focusing on good things and positive things, and you can start to feel it. Things like, well, I'll take a risk, because why not? Gotta roll the dice, right? Gotta spin the wheel, gotta get back in the game. That same spirit we see with athletic competition, we can learn a lot about from toys and games because they give quick feedback and let us know right there, hey, you're close, but not quite there, so do it again. And talking about teaching to mastery and this lifelong pursuit of there's got to be something out there bigger and I'm not there yet, but I'm a little closer. That's the feeling that we can sustain that positive momentum and talk about individual growth in the classroom. So when we do things in class, a lot of times we'll do stations activities, sort of centers activities, or small group activities, almost like Montessori school, but like blown up with like a full-blown, shot of adrenaline and caffeine in the arm. Because what I want to see happening is that excitement. You can see the board behind us, the pictures of students who are happy to be here, like genuinely happy. They're taking big risks. They're swinging for the fences. They're doing things that are over and above the average sit and get classroom. We know that in the traditional classroom, only about 20% of what's delivered in a lecture will be remembered after 10 minutes. Or maybe it's even worse, like 10% after 20 minutes. Regardless, those numbers are really low because our 16-year-old students, 17-year-old students, their attention spans are about 16 or 17 minutes. So we need to have active learning happening so that every 15 minutes or so, they're getting regular feedback and spot checks with someone, getting validation that they're on the right track and it's not work that's being done for a waste. And so those constant iterative design processes help our kids learn, help them grow, and help them get bigger and stronger and faster because they get that validation that what they're doing is working. So whether that's filling out an online form or doing a sketchnoting activity or an annotation, we're giving them that specific actionable feedback right there on the spot, and it's letting them know, hey, you're on the right track and I'm right here to help coach you up along the way. So
I find that super, super helpful. I'm also going to say, as we move to this last piece of the presentation, and I might get emotional as I kind of talk about it, both here on the podcast and in the room. I think about today's learners and what they're asked to do. Harvard, which is not a bad school, has reported that fewer than 1 out of 4 of their undergraduate classes now conclude with a traditional seated final exam. Most classes in the Harvard system have overwhelmingly switched to projects, portfolios, presentations, and performances, because that's stuff that computers can't do. As we move to the workforce, like, robots become cobots, and there's so much about what we're doing that can be outsourced to machine thinking. So what are we doing as humans that machines can't beat us in, right? They never ask for bathroom breaks, they never ask for raises, and they'll work all day long. But they can't touch humans when it comes to those human connections, empathy, curiosity, wonder, innovation, creativity. So how can I inspire that in the classroom? And I think about the things that our students go through and the things that they're suffering from. Talk about bullying, depression, anxiety, fear of missing out, online, I mean, all of that stuff. And I'm thinking, if my classroom can feel like a place that is safe and an escape from those things, how much more will our students want to come back? Because each class is fundamentally different by virtue of them having shown up. Rather than being on the rails where I just talk, 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 and they forget, and they feel like they're a faceless name in the crowd, they can see themselves and say, hey, this is about me, and today's class is fundamentally operating on a different level because of the contributions that I've made. It makes sense to want to come back and to lean in and to try to swing that bat one more time. And that's my goal for your students in my classroom and in this class here. Like I said, we have a lot to cover. If you have questions, feel free to email me. I want to say thanks again, and have a great, great night here at O'Connell. Please let me know if you have any questions. Thanks. All right, so that's it. I ran about 40 seconds long there, and I apologize. Some of it was because the slides I kind of had to explain for the podcast that would have been up behind me. But that's 8 minutes, bell to bell, pillar to post. I think it answers 3 major questions, which is what I think what people are looking for on that back-to-school night. One, you want to let them know that you're a passionate person about your content area and you're not crazy. Because when they say, oh, I'm failing English class, who's your English teacher? Oh, Mr. Meehan. That guy, he's a nut. We want to make sure that we're dispelling that information. 2, you're letting them know how to get a hold of you and that regular communication is a part of your pedagogy. It's really, really helpful for families to know how to get a hold if they have questions, that they know that this real live person behind the other end of the nameless, faceless internet, you know, LMS, is making sure that their kids' best interest is at heart. And thanking people is a big, big way to do that. At a Catholic school, we believe in this whole child education. So letting parents know that I see them on my side and we're allies in this really does help shift the thinking in the room that there's anything that could be adversarial. Notice we don't fight about grades. We don't talk about, like, the particular titles that they need to bring and what the homework policy is, because that's all very procedural stuff. And in truth, that stuff can change. But they want to see that human connection for real. And then the third thing is, and this is maybe a little insidious, you want to be in the middle of a sentence when that final bell rings at that 8 p.m. or that 8-minute hour. So there's no time for questions, because if there is questions, you have to be prepared to answer those questions on the fly. And if that question kind of catches you off guard or throws you from a loop, it can make the whole thing kind of feel rattled, and then your next presentation is not as sharp, not as polished. And more than that, the conversation might be something about, like, when is the next assignment due, or what kind of notebook do they need? And that's the type of thing that can be written down and answered much easier for a larger group. So those are my 3 tips for back to school night. And that's my peek behind the scenes if you wanted to watch along. Love to hear your thoughts about this little experiment. And I want to say thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week with more. All right. Thanks. Bye for now.